Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is David E.J. Berger. You can find me at Carl Jr. on Twitter. And you are now listening to Training Camp Dialed In. I'm bringing you the best of the day's news from the 2019 NFL training camps. And most days, not all days, but most days, I'll be featuring phone calls with writers and reporters from the actual sidelines of camp. There's a reason there's a phone in the pod logo, folks. I'll be getting their first-hand accounts of the action from a fantasy perspective. This is the place to be all August long, as I'll be bringing you 3 to 4 shows per week filled with fantasy football knowledge that's going to help you win your leagues this season. So you need to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or Podbean. This is season 2, people. We did this all last August. We're doing it all this August. So stick around. Let's have some fun. And we are back. Presented, as always, by Dynasty Happy Hour. And it's hard to believe, but the month of August is almost over. Time is running out. So I don't want to waste any with my usual nonsense. I want to get you right to the sidelines of training camp, at least via phone, for everything you need to know. Drafts are happening. Chances are you have done one already and have even more coming up, and you're definitely wanting to draft some Green Bay Packers. But who and when? Well, I dialed up Jim Ozarski. He covers the Packers for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And he's going to deliver the definitive guide to the 2019 Green Bay Packers. We're talking Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones, Jake Kumerow. Yeah, I think that's it. I caught Jim fresh off the plane from the preseason game in Canada. So this guy knows his poutine and he knows his Packers. You can find him at Jim Ozarski on Twitter. That's at JimOzarski. He's a big Wu-Tang guy, so you know he knows what he's talking about. What are we waiting for? Let's bring him on. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Ozarski.
This is Jim.
Jim, hi, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks for talking with me.
Yeah, of course, no problem.
Interesting to talk to you this morning because you braved our great northern neighbor, and on my way in, Sports Talk has labeled it an unmitigated disaster. So I guess my first question before we really dive in is how was Canada?
Well, the city of Winnipeg and its residents and football fans were great for sure. The venue, IG Field, pretty unique. Actually reminded me of CenturyLink in Seattle to a degree with its construction. So yeah, no, everything was good other than the rather odd decision to play an 80-yard NFL football game with no kickoffs. So that was interesting to witness go down, for sure.
Yeah, I was listening to VSiN, which was the sportsbook radio station on Sirius, and for gamblers it was quite the interesting experience, I guess. They didn't know what to make of the 80-yard field.
Yeah, it's actually funny you mentioned that. There was actually heard a television reporter mention that he had called a sports book, I guess, up in Winnipeg or somewhere, and said that nowhere does it say the length of the field matters in terms of bets or things like that. So I don't know. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah, definitely added a spice to our preseason here, and we're all excited for football. So let's talk about some fantasy football. Normally, I like to start the show with a look back at last season, but no team I've talked about this month is entering as new of a chapter as the Green Bay Packers. And just as mustachioed quarterback Aaron Rodgers is looking to rebound, so are fantasy gamers with this team. So they are clamoring for any insights on how this team is going to function on the field with new head coach Matt LaFleur and offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett running the show. From what you've seen at camp in this preseason, how is this team going to be attacking the field in terms of scheme and formations to help create a few more Lambeau leaps in 2019?
Yeah, it's going to look a lot like what people see in San Francisco, not so much Los Angeles. Matt LaFleur is a Cal Shanahan disciple. He had coached with Shanahan for think, 8 years or so before going to Los Angeles for 1 year under Sean McVay. Then, of course, last year in Tennessee, calling plays for the first time with the Titans. And the reason I say that is because Sean McVay, at least to date, one back, three receivers. That's his sort of go-to. That's the skill set he has and likes in Los Angeles. LaFleur is, he prefers the fullback, which is just like Kyle Shanahan. So you're going to see a lot of two receiver, one tight end, fullback, running back. Occasionally it will go three wide, but they'll also go two tight end as well. So plays are going to look the same. It's a pretty simple offense. Not a whole lot of variation. He's not going to run as much motion as LA, or, you know, but the jet sweep, definitely a part of it. You will see guys, you know, fullback. I'm guessing at this point it's Danny Vitale. You'll see him move out. I think he caught over 100 balls at Northwestern, so he'll be part of the passing attack. So, yeah, it really, the big question is not whether the quarterback plays well in it, because honestly, every quarterback plays well in the system. It's basically how explosive can it be when you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers calling the show.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about Aaron Rodgers out there on both traditional NFL shows and certainly on fantasy podcasts, so I don't want to spend too much time on him, but I think the biggest concern for a fantasy gamer for both redraft and dynasty is that a disharmonious relationship between Rodgers and another head coach could once again slow down this offense and create unreliable options up and down their lineups. You're someone who was there day in and day out with this team. What's the vibe right now between Rodgers and LaFleur as the transition from camp into week one prep begins? Are they on the same page?
Well, they say they are. So, and the fact that Aaron Rodgers hasn't taken a preseason snap and then admitted that the joint practice work with the Houston Texans wasn't really all that beneficial because they didn't run anything that was close to what they had been practicing. I don't know. Honestly, I think anyone's guess is as good as mine, even though I am there every day going into the week one of the season. So you just look at history, and history shows when Aaron Rodgers is healthy, he plays well and puts up numbers, and this offense, generally speaking, can be a good fantasy offense for certain guys. I think quarterbacks, look at Matt Ryan, his MVP year. You look at the number one receivers and the number one running backs in this offense, they tend to do well. So it is projection, and their schedule early, a lot of top five defenses, top 10 defenses from a year ago. So I think there's a little bit of a risk going forward, but I mean, Aaron Rodgers is healthy. That's the number one thing. And as I said, he's pretty good. He's pretty good when he's healthy.
Yeah, I'm glad you touched on the health, because I think that's another concern for fantasy gamers as well. We definitely want a healthy Aaron Rodgers out there, because we know what he can do when he's up to speed. Has this team or anyone in general figured out DeShone Kizer at all?
No. No. So from a fantasy perspective and deep leagues, I mean, I don't even know, as we're talking here, if Kizer's the for sure backup. I think he is, but, you know, Tim Boyle on that 80-yard field looked good in one quarter of play. So I think there is a real competition there for the actual true backup job in Green Bay. And Kizer, he has shown all of the things that has made him a second-round pick and all of the things that have made him 0-17 in his NFL game. So he has yet, I don't know if he's figured himself out yet.
So we're not seeing the body of Cam with the mind of Tom Brady play out.
I mean, he's impressive physically, and he is a very smart guy. That is for sure. I enjoy talking to him on a daily basis. But yeah, in terms of putting it together on the field, has remained wildly inconsistent.
Let's move on to the guys Rodgers is going to be tossing it to in the wide receiver room. No one was more reliable for the Packers last season than wide receiver Davante Adams, and that consistency carried a lot of fantasy teams to the playoffs, mine included. Thank you very much, Mr. Adams. Is he looking like he's in store for another huge season this year, potentially even higher, or have we maybe seen his ceiling?
Well, I think fantasy-wise, it's possible that was the ceiling because the offense has changed. The only real comp would be Julio Jones in 16 as a guy who was a true fantasy number one receiver. And what happened that year? He still got a ton of targets, right? But he didn't get the massive number that he got in all the years prior and then after, right? So as a fantasy option, you have Davante Adams, still a number one receiver. He's still going to be Aaron Rodgers' go-to guy, I guess, when it's crunch time. He's going to catch a ton of touchdowns. They are moving him into the slot at times. It's going to match him up against linebackers, which, I mean, that's about the easiest 11 to 18 yards anyone could get if it's Devontae Adams on a linebacker. But I don't know if he's going to get the nearly 200 targets again, though. Again, this offense isn't designed for one guy to get that kind of workload.
After Adams is where all the questions are lurking for fantasy with this wide receiver group. Do I want Geronimo Allison? Should I be an MVS guy? Am I really drafting a guy named Jake Kumerow? And of course, Dynasty diehards are questioning themselves for going so hard for Equanimeous St. Brown before the draft process. As someone who knows this team as well as you do, could you provide a guiding light to figuring out a path to properly rostering these wide receivers?
You know, I really feel for guys or players, guys and gals and everyone who play fantasy football with this, because it's a roll of the dice after Adams when it comes to these receivers. So all I can tell you is the way the depth chart is going to go. So when they go two wide receivers, it's Adams and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. When they go three receivers, it's Geronimo Allison, and he'll be in the slot, sometimes swapping with Adams. If they go four wide, as of now as we record this, that is Jake Kumerow. St. Brown injured, sprained an ankle, left in a boot after that game against the Raiders in Winnipeg, so that his status going forward is yet to be determined. Put it this way, if you're drafting Valdes-Scantling, Geronimo Allison, Jake Kumerow, this is what's going to happen to you. If you start him, he may have two catches for 30 yards, and then the next week may have nine catches for 100 yards and a score. Again, all I can do is point fantasy players to these offenses dating back to Houston when it was Andre Johnson. You have your one, and then it's a bunch of other guys, very democratic, that doesn't help fantasy players. I mean, think about 16, Taylor Gabriel, right, with Atlanta, at boom or bust, Mo Sanu. Last year was the first time that this offense has ever had two 1,000-yard receivers, and that was Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks in Los Angeles. And as I said earlier in this podcast, they run three receiver sets. That's what they do. These other ones, San Francisco, George Kittle, right? He's a tight end. You go back to Atlanta, who was the number two receiver is actually a running back, right? You go back further to Washington. It was Pierre Garçon. Maybe it was, I don't think Jackson was there at that point, but you're talking about Jordan Reed as a tight end. You're talking about the running backs catching balls. So I realize you're going to draft these guys. I would wait on them, sit on them. And yeah, one week they may beat you. One week they may help you win. But they're going to be really, really risky week-to-week plays, in my opinion.
I actually think that helps fantasy gamers a lot. I mean, this is why we're here. We got a sense of the depth chart. You know these guys. We're hearing from someone who's an expert on the team. So thank you very much, Jim. I really want to move on from the wide receivers, but there's still even more guys making waves. Trevor Davis got a sleeper hit last night thanks to his play in Canada. Alan Lazard has got some love in recent memory. Even Darius Shepherd has made a blip on the fantasy radar. Do any of these guys have a shot at being a thing for fantasy this season or beyond?
Trevor Davis, I think, would be the guy of that trio. He's been in the league. This is the first time, though, that he's really getting a chance to play receiver. He has flashed. He has caught not only a touchdown in the preseason game that he played against the Raiders, but he's been a guy that's made big plays offensively in practice. Obviously very important, but I would put him in the same boat as everybody else. I mean, there's a chance that he's the number four over Kumerow if he's healthy, right? Just because he's a faster player, more dynamic. But the issues with him would apply, as I just said before. Perhaps you get more value because he is going to be their primary kick and punt returner. But again, what does that really offer you as a player? And especially his injury history is pretty sketchy. So now, if he makes the team, odds are Darius Shepherd does not. And then Alan Lazard, he would be, that would be a really deep dynasty play. He basically would replace a Jamon Moore on the roster. And if he's even active, you're talking about the last receiver up and, a guy who plays on special teams in 2019.
Well, dynasty junkies live for this stuff, so thanks for that. And speaking of Dynasty, there are a few clicks on Dynasty Twitter that resemble the CrossFit community more than Aaron Jones truthers because they are so willing, open, and passionate to talk about it. So let's give the fans what they want and talk about him next. What kind of camp has he had? Is he the clear lead in this backfield, or does he have Jamal Williams, Dexter Williams, or even the deepest of the deep stash, Darren Hall, to worry about?
Yeah, no, Aaron Jones is the number one. This is not the Mike McCarthy era where he just sort of refused to make that decision. Aaron Jones is it. Jamal Williams is the clear number two. And when I say clear, I mean that's going to be, to spell Aaron Jones briefly, Derek Williams, the very clear number three. So, yeah, Jones is, again, it's a health issue. He's ended the last 2 years on IR with a sprained MCL. No surgeries on that knee. Good for him, but that's also maybe perhaps troubling as you try to hedge this. Again, you got to go and look back at history of this offense. I think since Gary Kubiak put it in place in Houston, and this is after Mike Shanahan, so everyone remembers, right? All those Denver teams back then, if you got a fantasy player who goes back to the mid-90s, you just drafted whoever Denver was going with. So Landis Gary and C.J. Anderson and the other, I mean, it didn't matter, right? 1,000 yards, 15 touchdowns at the minimum. You go to Houston, Arian Foster. They had the same Ben Tate. So Aaron Jones is going to get the ball. He's going to run it. He's going to catch it. He's got the big play speed to score touchdowns from outside the red zone. We haven't really seen their red zone work in terms of running the ball. They will give it to him. Hard to say there. I don't know if there's going to be a vulture situation with Danny Vitale or Jamal Williams. I think that's going to play out. But Aaron Jones is going to touch the ball a lot. He's the guy. I don't even know. I don't even think it's worth handcuffing with a guy on the team unless Aaron Jones actually gets hurt. And then you got to find out, is it Jamal Williams or Dexter Williams? You know, at that point, deep stash, I'd avoid anyone else on the roster. I mean, it's very possible they only keep the three to start. And then if you're looking Vitale would be the deep stash, right? Like, he's only going to carry the ball a few times, but he is going to be a guy in the passing game. So I would avoid anyone else currently on the roster at running back.
So we're writing his name down on our little cheat sheets. We're putting him on our radar. Thank you for that. The tight end position in Green Bay has not been a place of value for fantasy gamers for a while, but that's not unlike a lot of other NFL teams. Still, Jimmy Graham was once a brand-name fantasy commodity, and this offense projects to be better. Any word on his alleged dislocated finger, and what's a realistic expectation once he's healthy?
Yeah, he did dislocate that pinky, and, you know, look, he'll be back. He avoided surgery. But that's going to bother him all year. I mean, dislocations, I know those guys play through it, but it is a real thing. Look, he caught two touchdowns a year ago. I have to believe he'll catch more. But the 55 receptions for whatever, 500-something yards, I mean, that sounds about right. I mean, I don't know if he's definitely not a top-end fantasy tight end anymore. Even though your listeners are like, wait a minute, you're preaching this offense, and look at George Kittle and Jordan Reed and even Owen Daniels in Houston. You're like, I get it, but those were the young guys who could still run and present. Jimmy Graham has flashed. I mean, that's where he's at now. He's not that consistent guy. He's a guy who, yeah, he'll catch that 30-yard seam route and then maybe score a touchdown. Yeah, he can maybe get up in the corner of the end zone and catch it, but it's just not going to happen consistently anymore. He is going to play a bunch. I would say Robert Tonyan would be the next one. Second-year player at Indiana State. Last year, I think he only caught two balls. But he's been getting far more run as they try to manage Graham and make sure he's healthy to start the year. Tonyan, more athletic, you know, kind of the guy athletically Jimmy Graham was years ago, but far, far rawer talent. You know, so they're going to be used. They're going to be out there. But honestly, those are late investments because you're just not sure yet how often they'll be used.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham is definitely on the backside of his career. So let's quickly talk about someone, though, just starting out. Dynasty Twitter would be very upset if I didn't bring up rookie Jay Sternberger. What's the buzz about this precocious youngster?
Not much. You know, he suffered a concussion in the joint practices against Houston, so he actually just returned to practice before the third preseason game. I mean, he was running third, fourth string. I mean, he's going to make the team as a third-round pick again. As I mentioned, with Tanya, athletic, fast, can catch the ball, can present a matchup issue. can't really block yet, and that's kind of a problem in this offense. I'm not saying Jimmy Graham and Robert Tonyan are great at that job either, but they've at least done it at the NFL level, and they're just above him on the depth chart. So, I mean, again, you're talking dynasty stuff. I mean, this is your draft. You'd be drafting that guy to play in at no earlier than 20 and maybe 21, depending how he progresses.
That's a long wait. That is a long wait.
Yeah.
But hey, that's what we're doing here, right? Where if you're playing dynasty, you're investing for the long term, but it may be someone that you want to trade for down the line. Save that roster spot for someone else. You've given us the realistic view of what this team is going to do this season, but I'm going to ask you to go bold here for the last question. What's your boldest fantasy prediction for the Green Bay Packers in 2019?
Yeah, if you're going to go bold and try to pick something that we haven't addressed, I would say the Packers' defense is probably worth an investment. I mean, I don't quite know, obviously, how everyone's leagues score, but I do believe, from what I've seen, this is a defense that is going to get to the quarterback for the first time in 5, 6, 7, 10 years. This is a team that's going to turn the ball over for the first time in a bunch of years. So they have done it in practice. They have done it in the joint practices. They have done it in each of the preseason games. And to me, that doesn't just go away. You know, I think it's concerning when it doesn't happen through camp. They're doing it, right? And this is even without Kevin King. They're arguably their best corner when he's healthy. But Jair Alexander looks good. That linebacking group is actually catching the football when it's thrown to them. And again, it seems like Mike Pettine is dialing up that pressure. So defense, I know that's not sexy, but in terms of bold, that would probably be it, because frankly, there aren't a whole lot of like deep offensive sleepers. I mean, it's Aaron Jones, it's Davante Adams, it's Aaron Rodgers. Everybody knows about those guys. And then everybody else, as we've said, is just kind of that middle of the road boom or bust, can help you, and maybe by week 10 somebody separates themselves. So I would say and even IDPs, you know, take a hard look at some of those linebackers and you know, Kenny Clark especially up front.
Well, that's certainly good information if we're streaming defenses every week, and especially for DFS. Jim, you've said it all. Where can people find all your stuff?
Yeah, of course. Go to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, which is jsonline.com. And if you want just only Packers put right into your veins, packersnews.com. Turn on the push alert. Subscribe to us. It's definitely worth it, because we get all the injury stuff and who's starting, who's playing, all the things fantasy players need to know. And, of course, I'm on Twitter, at Jim Ozarski, OWCZARSKI.
You've put everything into perspective. Thank you so much. And until next year, have a great season, man.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye. Aaron Jones, RB1. You are now dialed.